Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Well, we're actually changing it up a little bit. What we had originally planned was to talk mostly about the Jets, but we also wanted to make sure we mentioned Tre'Davious White, because we actually heard from Trey White for the first time in almost a year. It kind of caught everybody by surprise. Essentially, so you guys all know what happens, was we were sitting there doing a press conference with Von Miller, and we were in the field house, and all of a sudden, Trey White came into the field house. He started walking towards the locker room, and it looks like he started talking to a couple reporters, and that couple reporters turned into everybody in the building within a couple minutes, because it's been that long since we have talked to him. So Sal, I mean, he talked for like 17 minutes. It was the first time we've heard from him. He gave us plenty of things to talk about on the podcast. So what did you take away from the conversation with Trey?
Yeah. And first of all, no planes now. We've transitioned. We are actually now in Studio Bove and Studio Capaccio talking here. The first two segments, we were out at practice, and then we wanted to see what happened at practice. And then we decided to kind of do it this way to recap, you know, what happened. So if the sound's a little bit different for everybody, there's no planes flying overhead, and
no,
we can just talk here. So I just thought it was super enlightening. I thought it was really great that Trey was so transparent and talked about the mental hurdles and the physical hurdles of coming back from this injury. He said he'd never been hurt, never had a surgery. And, you know, you feel for people that this is their livelihood, it's their life. And this is what he's worked his whole life for. And that was taken away from him. And, you know, such a quick, you know, just horrible, you know, instance in New Orleans last year. And he's had to work so hard to get back, but now they're in this position where, you know, they can add this great player back to the roster. And we don't know if it's going to happen this week. He said it, you know, he's taking it day by day as well, but I really, I appreciated his honesty and transparency, and talked about some dark days. You know, it reminded me of Harrison Phillips when he talked about this a lot. Remember that a couple of years ago, when he was coming back from his injury, and talked about some dark days and his family pulling him through, his teammates pulling him through. He said he locked himself in his basement at times and his teammates had to get him. I don't know if that was being metaphorical or true, but basically you get the point. And he said Micah Hyde was a real good resource for him throughout this process as well, because, you know, Micah's really been pumping him up and positive. And I think sounds like, you know, Trey is ready and eager to get out there, but he's not, you know, like forcing the issue either.
For sure. And I think it's funny that he mentioned Micah Hyde specifically and how it comes full circle, because now they need to support Micah as he is the one who is battling back from an injury. But when you talk about transparency, I give Trey White so much credit for opening up. I give him, because it's not an easy thing to talk about. He was basically mentioning that I soon realized after the injury that I wasn't going to be a football player for a long, long time. And for my entire life, that's what I've been. I've been a football player. I've been an athlete. And I realized that that can't be my identity. And it's almost like anybody dealing with something with work, with something in their personal lives. It's just really interesting. So many people are defined by their job. They're defined by their family. They're defined by, you know, what they've done in the past or what they're trying to do. And he just made it very clear that for his own mental and physical health, he needed to find a new passion. He needed to find a new purpose. And it's not an easy thing to talk about, but he said that he did a lot of work on his mental health. He really started to read books about different topics. He tried to spend all of the time that he dedicated towards playing football to being with his family, because he knows during the season he doesn't get to spend as much time with his family as he would like. So it was really eye-opening to see what it's like to go through that, not just from the physical standpoint, because I think we talked to him for 17 minutes. We barely talked about, okay, how is it cutting on your ankle, or how is it running up and down, or do you feel like you're as fast, or anything like that? Because it was a conversation that was more than football, and I think that that's important.
He said that Michelle Tafoya sent him a book. It's called The Obstacle is the Way. I've actually looked into this book since he talked about it. It was written in 2014. I'll read what it says here. A book which offers individuals a framework to flip obstacles into opportunities. Really interesting, right? And Michelle Tafoya, I bring this up because Trey said, good friend, and she sent it to me. She was on the field that night with me doing the sideline reporting for the Thursday night game when that happened. And I remember when he came out of that tent and I looked at Michelle and I said, he's pretty emotional, right? And she looked at me and she goes, yeah, he's crying, right? He was like that night he knew, right? That night he knew. And he went back and he talked about how emotional it was for him and, you know, trying to get over it right away. And, you know, it took a long time for him to kind of get back into that frame of mind to the long road ahead, and the recovery. It was just super engaging, super interesting from Trey. And I really appreciate his insight on that.
That was a weird one. I remember going back to, not to reflect too much in the past, because this is something that he's trying to move forward on. But I remember at that game, the minute that he got hurt, it almost felt like the game didn't matter anymore,
right,
because of the stature that Trey White has with the team.
Yeah.
So you were on the field. You saw his emotion. We're up in the press box. I was actually texting Dan Fates from Rochester, and he was like, hey, it's bad. He's like, I'm down here on the field. This is not good.
Right.
So then you start to think, okay, everybody probably jumps to the conclusion that it's what it is, and then you're just hoping that it's not.
Right.
And I remember it was Thanksgiving Day. The next day, I flew from New Orleans to Orlando and met a bunch of friends at Disney World for 3 days. We spent the weekend at Disney World. And I remember I was in line with like six or seven friends and girlfriends and wives and stuff. And the alert came up on the phone that I think it was Adam Schefter, that Tre'Davious White will miss the rest of the year. And you know, you've got these, so obviously doing what we do for a living, it's a little bit different, but you've got these Bills fans, and just to see their faces turn from, oh my goodness, this is the team that can win the Super Bowl, to, oh my goodness, they just lost their identity on defense. They just lost the guy that has locked down that corner spot for 4 or 5 years, was wild. So I think that that's also relevant, that, you know, it's a little story I told, to what they're getting back. And I know it's going to take a little bit of time, but we don't think about that. Think about how good this defense has been these last 12 months. And now you're adding a guy like that back. We still have never seen a defense that has Von Miller and Tre'Davious White. Think about that. One of the reasons they got Von Miller was because they wanted to get after the quarterback. But so many times we've heard that helps your corners because they don't have to cover as long. Well, now the corners like Trey White can help the pass rush, and maybe this quarterback has to hold on to the ball for that extra second. So I think we talked about this a little bit before we talked to Trey White. I think they need to ease him into things. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think just getting him healthy for the playoffs is what's most important, and I think that's what they're going to do.
You know who else knows that they're really good back there? Tre'Davious White. One of the funnier parts is when he was asked about, you know, how well these young guys have played. And he goes, oh, my team's pretty good, huh? You've watched my team. They're pretty good. And he laughed. Like he knows what he has here as far as his teammates. And the fact that I think that's probably part of the reason why he also feels like, hey, I don't have to rush it. These guys are doing a great job. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to get on the field when I can. I don't know about this week though, Matt, we've talked a lot about the MetLife turf, right? I mean, how much that might factor into this. Sean McDermott did not rule him out for this week. He also didn't rule him in, but we'll see. I wouldn't be shocked if he played, but I'm thinking maybe you wait another week, you get him back home in a home environment, back in Buffalo on the stadium and the turf that you're used to, just maybe more comfortability there. Mm-hmm. And you're not playing a world-beating offense either necessarily in the Jets. So I, as I sit here right now, I would probably say, I mean, they have 7 available healthy corners, including Trey. So they don't have to do it. As I sit here right now, my guess might be that he doesn't play, but it wouldn't shock me.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at the schedule because I had a little bit of a brain fart. So it's Minnesota, then Cleveland. So I think
2 home games after this.
So it's interesting because I do think that you would probably want him to play his first game at home and not on that field at MetLife because of all the issues that there have been at MetLife. That being said, Minnesota is certainly a more high-powered offense than the Jets. So I don't think that if we see Trey White come out here next week, it's like, okay, go cover Justin Jefferson every single play. That's not kind of how I think it would go. I think it would just be like, listen, you know, we're going to have him out there. We're going to have him doing what we want him to do on a limited snap count. But that's the thing that's, I think, so exciting for Bills fans is that you are getting that person back. And even if it does take a little bit of time, I think it'll be worth it in the long run because Tre'Davious White, when he's playing his best, when he's healthy, is a lockdown top cornerback in the NFL. And you combine that with a pass rush that's much improved, a linebacking group that has played exceptional this year, and now a corner or in a secondary that has exceeded expectations even in the face of adversity. I think you're talking about a defense that could really, really, really create some problems for people.
All right, let's talk about the Jets. The Bills take on the New York Jets at MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands, East Rutherford, New Jersey, Sunday at 1 p.m. It's going to be really nice. It's going to be like mid-70s. It's going to be great. Like feels like a September game here in November, which is really cool. The Jets are pretty much near the bottom in, or at least bottom third, in most major statistical offensive categories. But that's also with Breece Hall in the lineup. He is no longer in the lineup. Obviously, he's out for the year, unfortunately. Really exciting player for them. But I would say the path to victory for them probably still lies in them trying to control the game if they can on the ground and playing really good defense. They have a very good defense. They have players at all three levels, really talented players at all three levels. I just don't know. I mean, they're ranked. If you look at their points allowed is less than 20 a game. Mm-hmm. They are 6th in the league in yards per game allowed and 3rd in the league in yards per play allowed. So I think that's a really good defense against a very obviously explosive Bills offense. I just don't know if they'll be able to get there. Even if they can hold the Bills offense down a little bit, I'm not sure that their offense is going to be able to do much damage against the Bills.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think when you talk about the three players at all levels that are really, really high powered, it's important to give them. Quinnen Williams is awesome. Mm-hmm. When they drafted him, that was a name. I don't know if you remember the night of that draft, there were a bunch of rumors that the Bills were potentially going to try and trade up. And we all thought they would be trading up for Quinnen Williams. They got Ed Oliver. They're very, very happy with how Ed Oliver has turned out. Quinnen Williams, though, is a freak of nature. CJ Mosley, remember a couple of years ago, it was in 2019, right when they got CJ Mosley, he took over that game and then he got hurt. And then the Bills were able to make a comeback. CJ Mosley was playing out of his mind.
And then he sat out. He sat out the COVID year.
Uh-huh. So like it's Bills fans. He's a difference maker. I know he's a little bit older now. And then Sauce Gardner. I mean, he was a really, really high draft pick. It seems like his career's off to a great start. I do want to point out one thing, and it's not anything that you didn't say, but you were talking about how they're holding teams to less than 20 points a game. Mm-hmm. And I think that deserves credit. They also haven't played that many good offenses.
Agreed.
Any high powered offenses. So I think that inflates the number a little bit. When you look at the teams that I think are, you know, better than average, the Ravens scored 24. So it's not like it was a huge day. The Browns scored 30 and still lost. And the Bengals scored 27. After that, they've really reined it in these last 4 weeks, 5 weeks, but they've played the Steelers, the Dolphins, the Packers, the Broncos, and the Patriots. So I think the Bills have an opportunity to go out and put up some points on this team, even though the defense is better. I still think that you know, 30 should kind of be the threshold for the Bills in almost like every game that they play, regardless of how good the defense is, how bad the defense is. I think 30 is kind of their over under that you could almost set just like clockwork. I mean, they scored 27 against the Packers and they only had 3 points in the second half. Right. And I think the Packers defense is about the same level as the Jets defense. So I don't think, go ahead.
Yeah. The Bills, I think too, are kind of smarting a bit after last week, right? On offense. Don't they want to kind of get after a little bit and, you know, they want to play better. They did not play their best game, their A game in the second half. And even, you know, you could feel Sean McDermott after the game talking about them not playing great. And, you know, that starts with him. He's got to do a better job. And Josh Allen being upset, you know, how the offense played. And, you know, this is in a game where maybe we'll see, you know, it's going to be really good conditions and we'll see what this offense does. Let me ask you a question before we head out of here. Zach Wilson, is he the starting quarterback of the Jets opening day 2023?
Yes, he is. I believe so. I think that Zach Wilson has an interesting kind of arc to his career, and it was trending in the right direction, then hit a wall, and now is trending back in the wrong direction. I think when you've invested that much in a quarterback, you give it a little bit more time, or at least you should give it a little bit more time. Like Sam Darnold, they moved on from him eventually, but they gave him a little bit of time. It's funny because Sam Darnold had better numbers at this point in his career than Zach Wilson has had. Mm-hmm. I do think there's some talent there. I do trust the Jets and what they're doing. I like their coaching staff. I like the moves that they've made. I think there's some really nice options there. It stinks, though, because they lose Breece Hall. Breece Hall made this team a completely different team. I know he's just one player, but they were so dynamic with him on the field. Now you lose him. Michael Carter doesn't have that same juice that Breece Hall had. And I think that ultimately is forcing Zach Wilson into making some bad throws and some bad decisions. That's what he did last week against the Patriots. So I do think that he's going to be the starting quarterback for them next year, but I think the leash will be pretty short if it's not, you know, significant improvement by this time in 2023.
Real quick. Let's wrap up. Just take a look ahead to week 9 in the NFL. A couple interesting games that, you know, we can just touch on very briefly here. Chargers are at the Falcons. Big game for the Chargers. You know, they're sitting there at 4-3 in the AFC West. They're trying to keep pace with the Chiefs. They go to a Falcons team that got a gift last week, obviously, in that Carolina game. But Chargers-Falcons is interesting to me. And then I'll give you Dolphins and Bears. I mean, look, the Bears, they make the trade for Claypool. I don't expect them to beat the Dolphins, but they are the kind of team like they did against the Patriots that 1 week. They can just kind of rise up at any moment. I wouldn't give them a zero chance. That's for sure.
I see. I think I would. I think the Dolphins I think the Dolphins are good. I said yesterday that the Dolphins are the fourth best team in the AFC. And someone asked me who the third was. And then I kind of sat there and thought about it. And I was like, wow, maybe it is the Dolphins. Cause I mean, it's the Bills and the Chiefs 1-2 after that.
Probably Ravens and Dolphins have to go.
That's what I said.
4-3, right?
I said Ravens. They said Dolphins. Then the conversation was, if you had to play one of those teams in the playoffs, who would you be more scared of? And they emphatically said the Dolphins. And I was like, wow, really? I was like, I think I would say the Ravens. I would say Lamar Jackson.
Tell me where the game is too. You come into Buffalo, because I don't think that offense necessarily works in the cold and the wind in Buffalo in January like it does right now in Miami.
You're right, but I do still think with those playmakers, Waddle and Hill are the best wide receiver combo mm-hmm. in the NFL right now. They're great. And then they go out and you get Jeff Wilson with a guy who's coached him and who has had a lot of success with him, in addition to Mostert. Gesicki's a nice player. And I mean, Tua just looks rock solid right now. He looks great. I know there's a lot of people who are going to be listening to this podcast and their eyes are going to roll and they're going to be like, oh, the sample size is small. Let's give it time.
No, I don't disagree.
I think that Tua is really, really ascending right now. So regardless, I think that Miami handles Chicago. I think that Miami could string together a lot of wins in a row, and that makes that game in Buffalo in late December that much more interesting. Because, I mean, you look at the Dolphins' remaining schedule here. So they got the Bears, then they go Browns at home, Texans at home, on the road at the 49ers.
It gets a little tougher at the end.
The end for sure. So this is their final six.
And the Browns are not a pushover right now at all.
No, they really
took it to the Bengals the other night.
No, the Browns are not a pushover, but I think that the Dolphins are pretty close to the Bills. And I think like all these teams that the Bills, not pretty close, but I think they're closer to the Bills than maybe some people want to admit. And you look at the Bills' remaining schedule, it's games against the Vikings, the Browns, the Jets, the Patriots, and most Bills fans are like, oh, win. So I think that the Dolphins maybe should get the benefit of the doubt there a little bit. Their last six games, though, were really hard. At 49ers, at Chargers, oh my God. At 49ers, at Chargers, at Bills, 3 in a row. on the road. Oof.
Yeah. And well, two of those are in the, again, to me, tell me what the offense looks like when they have to go outdoors in a colder weather climate later. I just think it's a different animal. I'm not saying you got to run the ball and be like, we talk about that. You're talking about a speed offense with a quarterback that has ascended. I agree with you, but does not have the strongest arm. And
But they don't have to. I very much see what you're saying for like the conversation of a potential playoff game in Buffalo, but right. for the rest of their season,
sure.
they don't really have to do that because their remaining they've got two home games. Those road games are at the 49ers and at the Chargers. The weather's not going to be a factor there. The only games where it becomes a potential factor are at the Bills on December 18th and at the Patriots on January 1st. But besides that, they've got all the rest of their games. There shouldn't be any issue with weather, cold, any of that stuff. So I do think that there's a chance because they're 5-3, right? Are they? That's the
they're 5-3 right now. And obviously with Tua healthy, they're a much, much different team. All right. Before we head out of here, we literally have to wrap up here. Titans Chiefs Sunday night. Any chance for the Titans to sneak up on the Chiefs? They did beat them last year.
No, I don't think so. I think the Chiefs
12.5 point underdogs, the Titans. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, what were they against the Bills on Monday Night Football? It was similar to that too. Yeah. What do you think? What's your final score prediction?
Probably a higher scoring game. Right there. I'm going to take the Chiefs, let's say 31-24. Like, I don't know if they cover the spread, but I think the Titans can probably score a few points. How about Ravens at Saints Monday Night Football? We just talked about the Ravens. Saints shut out the Raiders last week. This is a big play for them. This is big. Wait, hear that alert? That's the Bills signing, making practice squads. That's my alert when the Bills text.
Oh, okay. I just got the same alert.
What is it? Isaiah Coulter. And Jared was released. So yeah. Not Isaiah Hodgins, by the way, because he was claimed by the Giants, which we didn't talk about yesterday. Prediction, Ravens at Saints Monday night. And real quick on Isaiah Hodgins.
Okay, Isaiah Hodgins, I know it stinks. He was a nice prospect. He was a nice player. This is just business in the NFL when you've got a really, really, really talented 53-man roster.
Yep.
I think the Saints are overrated. I understand that they're coming off a game when they shut somebody out. I think the Ravens belong in the conversation of that second best tier in the AFC. I think the Ravens will go on the road and get a win.
Saints are always tough in a nighttime game at home. It's always tough. They have a nice crowd that shows up and supports them. We saw that with the Bills last year, but that was a different scenario. They were very banged up. I don't know. I might pick the Saints in that game. I think.
Really?
I might. I just think that there's a situation where, yeah, the Ravens go over there and they look really good so far. But we've also seen the Ravens lay some stinkers, so we'll see. But they're obviously going. They made the trade as well for Roquan Smith, so you know that'll probably help him, give him a shot in the arm. All right, Isaiah Hodgins, good luck to him. Was never going to happen in Buffalo. I'll say this, Matt. He's going to have a game down the road in the Giants. Going to have like 6 catches, 50 yards, and a touchdown. Bills fans are like, oh my god, I can't believe you get rid of this guy. He would never have that opportunity in Buffalo. He would not. Mm-hmm. You're going to play more with Diggs? You're going to play more with Davis? It's all about opportunity.
Absolutely.
All right. Bills, Jets. Let's get into a final prediction. What's your score prediction?
So I'm going to go with, you know how I said 30 is my kind of over under like clockwork every week. I'm going to creep just over. I'm going to say Bills 31. I'm going to say, actually, no, I'm going to stick there. I'm going to say Bills 31, Jets 17.
Jets defense is pretty good. I think the Bills defense will give their offense a lot of opportunity with maybe short fields. Mm-hmm. Would really help. I'll go a little wider. I'm going to say Bills 30, Jets 13. I can't see the Jets scoring more than like 13 points in this game. I just can't.
Yeah, I think my 17 is almost like I think the Bills are in a pretty good space and they're just kind of
like a backdoor late touchdown because the backups are in or something.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I think that this Jets team is definitely better, but I don't think they're there quite yet.
All right. Download, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify. It's always game day in Buffalo. Thanks for tuning in this week. And of course, we'll be back right away next week after the Bills take on the Jets and look ahead to the Minnesota Vikings the following week here on the podcast. Thanks a lot again.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.